Welcome to Murder in the Air Mystery Theater. I'm your host, Lori Fagan. In this new podcast series, you'll hear authors reading their mystery, suspense, or thriller short stories or a chapter from their published books, along with short interviews. In this episode, you'll hear one of my short crime stories. In addition, sprinkled throughout the coming weeks, the podcast will feature radio theater-style sections from the audiobooks for my three crime fiction novels. There will be prizes too, so stick around to the end to find out how to enter. So why am I jumping into the podcast world? I actually come from a radio background. I was a journalist for much of my career in television and print, but I started in a news radio station in Phoenix, Arizona during college, and then I was hired full-time after I graduated. So my writing actually started for the ear only. No visuals, no pictures, just words. A purist medium for some. I also remember listening to radio mysteries while driving and always enjoyed the great voices, the sound effects, and dramatic music. You might recall the CBS Mystery Theater or shows like Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The Whistler, Green Hornet, and others that are still being replayed today. Then I started reading the Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Magazine, which led to my receiving an honorable mention in a mysterious photograph contest, and that was the impetus to start writing my own crime fiction mysteries. Now I also love listening to the Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Magazine podcasts, where authors read their short stories. In the Behind the Mic mystery series, I have three published novels and a couple of novellas. My protagonist in that series, Lisa Powers, covers the crime beat for her Chandler, Arizona radio station. She helps police solve cold cases because they're short-staffed and she's interested. And then because she's in this gritty crime world all day, she writes campy mystery podcasts for fun. Now, since the first book came out in 2016, people thought I produced an actual podcast, but these quote-unquote podcasts have only existed in my radio reporter protagonist brain, on the pages of the books, and in the audiobooks. Until now. With the help of my audio-video content creator son, Devin Hancock, we have put them together in segments appropriate for a podcast. Over this next 16-week season, you'll hear the podcasts for Fade Out and Dead Air sprinkled among readings from authors from their short stories or a mystery book chapter. So, with the popularity of podcasts and renewed interest in audiobooks, that's why I decided to jump in and launch Murder in the Air Mystery Theater. So, to kick things off, on this first episode of Murder in the Air Mystery Theater, I'll read my short story called Floating, published in the 2012 Sisters in Crime Desert Sleuths anthology called So West, Desert Justice. This short story was also my published writing debut. Floating by Lori Fagan. Floating. Tiny waves ripple at my ears. Sun bathes my face with warmth. Something tickles my hand. The thump of my heartbeat fills my head. How can you float like that? My friends would always ask, seeming amazed that I could remain motionless on my back in the water, barely stirring the surface with my hands or feet. My feet always sink, another would say. You're lucky. Sounds of the public swimming pool fill my ears. Children laughing, water splashing, the thud of the diving board, more splashing. Tweet of the lifeguard's whistle warning someone misbehaving. The sun is hot, beating down on my face. Too hot. Lips dry. Throat parched. The pool sounds of days gone by fade, replaced by a gentle lapping sound. I blink my eyes open to see a bright blue, cloudless sky. Somewhere, a bird cackles. I lift my head, tucking my legs under to bring myself upright, arms in a slow treading water figure eight to keep my mouth above the surface. I realize I'm not in my hometown pool. I look around, trying to figure out where I am. Tall red rock canyon walls surround me, and at the base, a small cove. I've floated into tall, thin reeds in one corner that surround, nearly trap me. What the... I mutter, trying to get my bearings. Frantically, I twist around, now treading water madly, pushing away from the grasses, finding myself very much alone. My head starts pounding. Float. My head drops back into the water. My legs come up into the survival float. The throbbing subsides a bit. Stay calm. Close your eyes. Big breaths. The thump, thump is much faster now. What happened? How did I get here? I force my breathing into long, steady inhalations as my arms keep me afloat. Oh, geez, my head. Make the pounding stop. Relax, Leslie. Just try to relax. It seems like I've been floating for hours. When I open my eyes again, the sun is no longer bright yellow, but more orange as it starts its downward trek to the top of the mountain, bathed in hues of deep lavender and peach. I carefully reach up to feel a lump the size of an orange on my forehead and something sticky on my face. My fingers are red with blood. I realize something happened, something bad. But what? Rob, the boat. I thrust myself to a sitting position in the water, propelling my arms to the side and pumping my legs in a bicycle kick. It all comes flooding back. Rob and I in a small boat, having a lovely time rowing across Canyon Lake into the tiny finger of LaBarge Cove. The midday sun had cast shadows over the rock formations as majestic saguaro cacti stood guard. Rob was telling his usual bad jokes. I laughed obligatorily. Then, as if in slow motion, the oar lifted out of the water, dripping as it rose above the side of the boat and across the center, connecting with my head. Then, nothing. Oh my God, Rob! My thoughts race. He must have lost his balance. He's probably in the lake. I swim out to where the boat was, take a deep breath, and dive down below the surface, my arms flailing wildly, reaching, grasping, but it's dark and murky, and I feel nothing but cold. Lungs aching, I claw myself upward and emerge, taking in a cool, deep breath. Water drips down my face, chilled by the dry air. I blink the liquid out of my eyes. My head pounds harder. I look around. Nothing. No one. Just the occasional bird gliding gracefully, a silhouette against the setting sun. A dragonfly stops about a foot away from my face as if looking at me, then darts off. I resume the survival float, feet up, arms back and forth at my side, balancing. My breathing slows. I remember my childhood swimming classes. You could always tread water better than me, my friends would say. No fair. Of course, my height had also helped. I was only 11 when I was persuaded to join the synchronized swimming club, but I was as tall as the other high schoolers who frequented the pool. It was one thing to tread water in the 5-foot area where I could touch my toe to the bottom of the pool if I needed. But when the coach's drills took us to the deep end, I would panic, afraid I'd get too tired and slip under, and no one would miss me. The drone of an airplane above startles me. I pull myself up and try to wave, but it's too late. The plane disappears behind the mountain. Treading water again, I recall Rob's last joke. "Take my wife, please," he had deadpanned. I wondered about the somewhat maniacal look on Rob's face just before the oar smacked my head. I look around again. This time it's as if the saguaros have doubled in number with their deep, dark shadows cast by the setting sun. I have to get out of here. The shore looks to be about 3 pool lengths. You can do it. Breaststroke arms, head above the water, whip kick. What a time to be thinking about my swimming form. But it helps me focus on getting to the beach. I drag myself up onto the warm sand. There's the indentation where Rob and I put the rowboat into the water earlier this morning. 2 sets of footprints. That was, what, 7-8 hours ago? And there's where the boat had been pulled out of the water. Only 2 large feet. Rob's. The sun is warm overhead, drying my clothes. A bead of sweat trickles down, stinging my eye. When I wipe it away, my hand is covered with fresh blood. Gotta get help. My head throbs harder as I pull myself up along the rocky shoreline. I trudge cautiously across the uneven stones toward the Apache Trail Highway. It's too far. I'll never make it. I almost lose my balance. I stop, steadying myself. Only a little further. You can do it. Then the sound. A car coming my way. One hand on my bleeding head, I wave with the other slowly, then more urgently. The car breaks to a stop. Thanks. Can I have a ride? I start to ask. Oh my gosh, you're the one from the TV, the young female driver exclaims. Of course, get in. She leans across the car's interior and opens the door for me. I gingerly ease myself into the passenger seat. What TV? I ask. Your picture was on the new news. This guy said he and his wife were on a bike ride and... You mean boat ride, right? I ask. No, he definitely said bike. He told the reporter they stopped at a convenience store. He went in to get a couple of sodas, but when he came back out, the woman, I mean you, were gone. None of this makes any sense. Everything is a blur. Can you just take me to the nearest hospital? I close my eyes and lean back. Of course, the woman replies. The car spews rocks from under the tires as it accelerates. This is so bizarre, she continues. On TV, they said your credit card had been used, so they figured you dumped him and took off. Sounded like the cops decided not to go searching for you. She pauses. But I don't think that's what really happened, right? I keep my eyes closed and tell myself it's going to be okay. Don't worry, I'll get you there as soon as I can. The ride gets smoother as we speed down the highway. The motion lulls me half asleep. The breeze from the open window is soft on my face, and the classical music on the radio helps me relax. It's dark when my Good Samaritan screeching tires wake me as we pull into the emergency room lane. 2 hospital attendants run out with a gurney. I made it. I close my eyes again, and my world goes black. Floating. Tiny waves ripple at my ears. Sun bathes my face with warmth. Birds chirp nearby. The sweet sounds of Native American flute music float through the air. Something tickles my hand. I turn to pet my precious little puppy, who is licking my fingers. I lift my head from an inflatable water lounger and reach into one of the 2 beverage holders to press a remote switch. Water gurgles from a large rock formation. From the other holder on the raft, I pick up a frosty glass and take a long sip of an icy, sweet strawberry daiquiri. I financed the heated pool, jacuzzi, waterfall, colored lights, and even the against-the-current machine, extravagances Rob would never allow me to have, after I sold his gas-guzzling, always-in-the-shop Jaguar. I smile, knowing he won't be able to drive again. Not for a long time. Not where he is. My friends had warned me about him. Thank goodness my pet sitting neighbor posted my absence on Facebook and called the cops when I didn't pick up the puppy or call. She never trusted Rob either. But to think he had his girlfriend put on my clothes, my sunglasses, and wear my baseball cap with the rhinestones that spelled out spoiled, then sent her to the ATM to withdraw cash from my personal account. So much for the man I thought I knew. Cheers, Rob, I toast with my glass. Hope you rot in that prison cell. That was Floating by Lori Fagan, published in the 2012 Sisters in Crime Desert Sluice anthology called So West, Desert Justice, which is available on Amazon. That short story was also my published writing debut. Join us again next time when on episode number 2 of Murder in the Air Mystery Theater, you'll hear the radio theater style first segments of the Frightful Funhouse podcast from my novel Fade Out. Episode 3 will feature Phoenix author Margaret Morse, who's written a fun paranormal crime fiction cozy series about an attorney who finds out she has magical powers. She'll read from Murder Casts a Spell. Episode number 4 will be more segments from Frightful Funhouse from Fade Out. If you're listening on the podcast platform of your choice, please subscribe and leave a review or provide us with some feedback. If you're on YouTube at Read Lori Fagan, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, and click on the bell to be notified when a new episode has been released. And for more freebies, check out our Patreon page at Murder in the Air Mystery Theater. Remember I mentioned prizes? At the end of each of these Murder in the Air podcasts, we'll have a drawing for a prize from those who follow Read Lori Fagan on Facebook or Instagram, and in the comment, write murder to be entered in a drawing. We'll have drawings for free ebooks, chances to win your name in a novel, and other fun items. So go to Facebook or Instagram, follow Read Lori Fagan, and write murder in the comment. For more information, you can visit readlorifagan.com. Thanks so much for listening, and come back again, where you will always find murder in the air.